Symptoms of manifestation. Yet, what? Adhishtanam. Background. Yatha. From where? Shushtam. Created. Idam. This world. Prabho. O my father. Yat. In which? Samstam. Conserved. Yet, what? Param. Under control. Yet, what are? Cha. And. Tat. Of this. Tatvam. The symptoms. Bada. Please describe. Tatvataha. Factually. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. My dear father, please describe factually the symptoms of how the symptoms of this manifest world. What is its background? How is it created? How is it conserved? And under whose control is all this being done? So everyone can please repeat. My dear father, please describe factually the symptoms of this manifest world. What is its background? How is it created? How is it conserved? And under whose control is all this being done? Purport. The inquiries by Narada Muni on the basis of factual cause and effect appear very reasonable. The atheists, however, put forward many self-made theories without any touch of cause and effect. The manifested world as well as the spirit soul, is still unexplained by the godless atheists through the medium of experimental knowledge, although they have put forward many theories manufactured by their fertile brains. Contrary to such mental speculative theories of creation, however, Narada Muni wanted to know all the facts of creation in truth and not by theories. Transcendental knowledge regarding the soul and the supersoul includes knowledge of the phenomenal world and the basis of its creation. In the phenomenal world, three things are factually observed by any intelligent man: the living beings, the manifest world, and the ultimate control over them. The intelligent man can see that neither the living entity nor the phenomenal world are creations of chance. The symmetry of creation and its regulative actions and reactions suggests the plan of an intelligent brain behind them. And by genuine inquiry, one may find out the ultimate cause with the help of one who knows them factually. Om jnana timanandasya gananjana shalakaya chakshurum militam yena tasmai sri gurave namaha vichetanya manobhishtam stapitam yena bhutale svayam rupakata mahyam tadati svapatantikam nama om vishnu padaya krishna prashtaya bhutale shimate bhakti vedanta swaminiti namine namaste sarasvati deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Pasyatirishatarine Jayashi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivashadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare So, here are the questions posed by Narada Muni, which we may reflect back on the questions made by Brahma himself to his spiritual master. In the last few verses, the main subject has been the parampara. And here, especially in the last line, tat tat tam bada tatpataha, in the last line, it says tat three times. I want to know in truth. Please explain this in truth, not some speculation, not some idea, not some fabrication, mental or intellectual. I want to know the truth. So Brahmaji, well, first of all, as far as cause and effect, which is the first part of the purport of Srila Prabhupada, there are different types of cause and effect. Here, Narada Muni's specific question, how does this material creation, what is its cause? And adhisthanam, how is it situated? What is its background? In other words, what is its shelter? So he's, of course, in a few more verses, he's going to ask, are you the Supreme Creator? No. He knew that, but he's asking, just like Arjuna, under Yogamaya, he's asking for our benefit. Are you the Supreme Creator? Just like the Yamadutas, when they were confronted by the Vishnu Dutas, they said, is there someone above you? No. And so, this is tattva, to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When we see any prayers here in the Bhagavatam, it begins with tattva. But the ultimate understanding by which we can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead comes from rasa,
devotional service, getting a taste for serving Krishna, param drishtvani vartate, a taste which goes beyond the whole material phenomenon, which goes beyond the mental and intellectual sphere. As Srila Prabhupada explained in his introduction to to the whole chanting of the holy name, he said the holy name is beyond the physical, mental, and intellectual plane. And the soul also, as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, indriyani paranyahur, that the senses are beyond all matter. And above the senses, param manasaha. And above the mind is manasa param budhe, ya budhe paratas tusaha. And above everything, the intellect, the mind, and everything is Krishna. So, Krishna, to understand Krishna, of course, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, if you want to understand me, then I will give you the intelligence. Tesham satata yuktanam. Two basic qualifications. First of all, satata yuktanam. You must always be connected with me. As he said also in Bhagavad Gita, previous to that, maya sakta mana partha yogam yunjan marashraya. That just become attached to me. So what does it require to become attached to Krishna? It requires devotional service. And where does devotional service come from? This was discussed in the last two classes by Banu Maharaj and Revati Raman Prabhu. It requires revelation. And of course, this is also, Srila Prabhupada says this in his last line, and by genuine inquiry, one may find out the ultimate cause with the help of one who knows them factually. Gyaninas tattva tarshinaha. The spiritual master, the Vaishnavas, they will reveal this. So the emphasis of these verses is parampara. A parampara, Lord Shiva wrote or spoke, or he actually wrote it, I guess he spoke it, or I don't know, somebody else wrote it, but he spoke it. Aham bade me, shuku vetti, vyasu vetti na vetti va. That he says, I may know this philosophy of Bhagavatam, or Krishna consciousness, or Veda, or Vedanta. Shukadev, he may also know. And Vyasadev, he may know, or maybe he doesn't know. So one may say immediately, how could Vyasadev not know if he spoke it, if he wrote it, if he manifested the Vedas? Well, so what does that mean? So therefore Lord Shiva says, Bhaktya Bhagavatam Grahyam. If one wants to know, one has to accept this Bhagavatam, Nabudya Na Chatikaya. Not trying to understand through one's intelligence or by reading many commentaries. Some people think that I can just read Srila Prabhupada's book. Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee, and that's true. And he's revealing the Bhagavatam to us in a way that the Bhagavatam has never been revealed before. You look at Prabhupada's, the reference book of commentaries that Prabhupada had, would carry around with him, was about this big. And that had I forget how many commentaries. And there are about 150 Vaishnava commentaries on the Bhagavatam. Meaning, there may be more, but like pretty authorized commentaries. And of those, of course, the main ones, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, these are the main ones that we refer to. And then there's other Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur commented on some parts of the Bhagavatam. But Srila Prabhupada's commentary is beyond, I mean, so many volumes. No? You couldn't fit it. I remember they had one attempt at one Bhagavatam. There's so little you couldn't read it, but and Chaitanya Charitamrita all in one. But anyway, point is that even though Srila Prabhupada's explanation is so vast, everything is subject to the mind. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that karma is created by lust, jnana is created by indifference, and bhakti is created by faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So we're always subject. As long as we have material desires, karma will filter in, and according to our karmic desires, we may interpret the Bhagavatam, even Srila Prabhupada's very clear words, in a certain way, or jnana. No. If we have indifference to this world, we may not judge. We may not understand the real understanding of jnana. What is real jnana? Real jnana, Krishna gives. He says to Arjuna that, idam tate guyatamam, I will reveal this most intimate understanding, pavaksham yana suyave, because you are not envious. So this is the qualification. If you want to hear, first of all, if you want to hear properly, you know, especially if you want to be able to understand things, we have to give up envy. And then he said, then I will give you jnana vijnana sahitam. I will give you the knowledge and the realization. It's not just knowledge. Just like in our Krishna consciousness movement, we offer a lot of courses, Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava, Bhakti Vedanta, Bhakti Sarvabhauma, and Bhakti Shastri, all these different courses there. But if you just learn the course, and you don't put it into practice, no. Just theoretical knowledge. Of course, that's good theoretical knowledge. It's about Krishna. It's about serving Krishna. No. But if we don't put it into practice, then yajgyatva, no, moksha se shubat, we will not be able to get to free ourselves from the inauspicious effects of material nature. And one of the most dangerous ones, which Srila Prabhupada mentions here in the second part of the purport, is the intellect. So I'll go into that a little later. I just wanted to speak a little bit more about cause and effect. So the cause and effect, Krishna says later on in the Bhagavatam here, he speaks about this, because Lord Brahma, he's... I just happened to turn to the right page hopefully by Krishna's arrangement, or by luck, my own luck. But there is no luck, really. So, Bhagavat Chikshitam Aham. Brahma said, please teach me, my dear Lord, please teach me, Karavani Yatandritaha. Teach me to be your instrument. I want to be your instrument. I don't want to assume. He's going to give the reason why he might assume this. Nehamana prajashargam. You have given me the responsibility of manifesting all the living entities. You know, of course, they don't originally come from him, but giving them intelligence and different aspects of their existence. Badye dam yaranugrahat. Badye dam. It's an interesting word. Dhyaya, meditate. Badhyaya means conditioned meditation. Otherwise, the conditioned soul is meditating. And Krishna advises us, Dhyayato Vishayan Bhumsam. Don't meditate on the material objects. No. Don't do Badhyayam, do Krishna Dhyayam. No. Meditate on Krishna, not on material nature. So he's saying, Yadanugrahat, this will come by your mercy. And then he says something very interesting. I'm not going to read the whole verse, but he says, Yavat Saka Sakyur Avishar Kritam. He says that you are treating me like a friend. Prabhupada uses the term in his translation, shake hands. No, Krishna shook hands. Otherwise, an intimate connection was established. No. And then he says, I'm going to do all these things perfectly, creation, all these things perfectly. But I have one big concern. No, ma me samudana madhuja manina. That my mind does not make me proud. No. That I don't think because you've been friendly with me, no, because you have shown such intimacy to me, that that I may become proud. So this pride, and therefore, as I just mentioned, Krishna says to Arjuna, give up pride. Pride is very dangerous. And then, as Srila Prabhupada explains, then a very important verse which Prabhupada quotes in his purports in Bhagavad Gita, that that Krishna says, "Agyanam paramaguyam me," that this knowledge about me and tadvijnana samanvitam, it is very confidential, sarahasyam tarangam cha, and therefore, because it's so difficult to understand with the mind and the intelligence, it's not difficult to understand. Just like Srila Prabhupada used to say in when he was preaching in Bombay and Mumbai, he would have little Saraswati, and he would say, who is Krishna? The Supreme Personality of God. And Prabhupada said, just see perfect knowledge. Not difficult to understand if you understand Krishna, no. But impossible to understand if you don't. Just like Bhanu Swami gave the example the other day of the Bhagavatam being covered, comparing it to like Mohini Murti giving the nectar, no, that she gives it to the demigods, the suras, no, the suras, those who are interested in serving Krishna. They can understand. And the asuras, they interpret, speculate, change, eliminate verses. Just like the many, many parts of the Vedas, Puranas, etc., especially the Puranas, were in the hands of the Mayavadis for centuries and centuries and centuries. And therefore, a couple of Sanskrit scholars were mentioning to me that many of the quotes from different Puranas that Rupa Goswami gives in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, you don't find them in modern editions of those Puranas, because some Mayavadi thought, oh, this is not very beneficial. This doesn't fit my purpose. No. Speculation. So Krishna is telling Brahma, don't worry. I'm going to give you confidential knowledge, and I'm going to give you realization of that knowledge. But I require two things. That you hear it carefully as explained by me. No, and he says, Grihana Gaditam Hidam. It is very confidential. It has to be realized in conjunction with devotional service. Sarahasyam means devotional service. I'm giving you the necessary paraphernalia, just like we get certain paraphernalia like japa, understanding, knowledge, and you may take it up carefully. No? Otherwise, don't give a superficial, look at what I'm giving. And then he explains the Chatushoki, that I am the creation. Everything is there. Everything was there. I was there before everything. It came from me. It went away, and I was still there. Otherwise, I am the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So this is the cause and effect. And of course, Krishna explains cause and effect in terms of the living entity. No. First he explains the effect, no, that karya karanam kartate, that hetu prakritir uchate, that the effect is that material nature creates causes and effects that take place within nature itself. But where is this coming from? What is the real cause? Why is this happening? Why is this material nature functioning? Because purusha sukha dukhanam, the living entity's desire to enjoy it in this world, of course, and his suffering, which he doesn't look for. He looks for the enjoyment. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, everyone wastes their life trying to create enjoyment and trying to eliminate suffering. No. When the Bhagavatam says that these things, no, these things happen, nalabhyate, you don't acquire them. Just like nobody looks for misery, but it comes. No. And happiness has the same cause. So the living entity, bhoktritve, their desire to enjoy this material world, is the cause, the original cause of everything that's happening to them. And of course, this is one of the most difficult things, as Lord Brahma suggests, that we have to understand. We are the author of our destiny. Tate nu kampam susimikshavana bunjana ivatmakitam vipakam atmakritta, that we are the oneself is the creation. Many other instances and things may be the instruments of our destiny, but the cause is one's own actions. And therefore, Hridbhag Babubir Vididhan Namaste, if you want to understand that properly, then surrender your heart, your words, and your actions to the Supreme Personality of God. Then everything will be clear. You'll understand that I caused this, and only by the process of devotional service can I cause it to go away. Of course, it doesn't go away immediately, as we've all experienced. It can go away immediately, just like Katwanga Maharaj. He had a few seconds to live when he was returning from the celestial world to the middle planetary system, and he was given some blessings. So he said, "How long do I have to live?" It's finished. And he said, "Then let me surrender to the Lord." 1 second. We can do it in 1 second. Prabhupada said to the devotees in the beginning of our movement that actually we could take over the world in 18 days, but you're not ready. No. Prabhupada was ready, but we're not ready. Of course, Prabhupada says that because it indicates surrendering to Krishna. Not that Prabhupada had an 18-day plan and couldn't carry it out. No. Of course, the 18-day plan or the one-day plan or the one-year plan or the universal plan is to spread the holy name, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructs us. Atta eva ami agya dilun sabakari jahan tahan prema pala deha jari dari. He says, my instruction to every living entity, every person within this universe, take these fruits of love of Godhead, which have now manifested by Srila Prabhupada's mercy in the form of so many wonderful books, and distribute them. That is the instruction, the Lord's order to all of us. So anyway, going back to cause and effect. So the cause and effect can never be understood by atheistic persons. And then Srila Prabhupada goes on to explain transcendental knowledge regarding the soul and the supersoul, and knowledge of the phenomenal world. The question, the beginning questions in the 13th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. No. And of course, Krishna says, kshetra kshetra gayor jnana. If you understand that the knower of the body and the knower of all bodies, and of course the body is the, you know, part of the phenomenal world and the knower. And Krishna is saying, I am the knower of the phenomenal world. You are the knower of this body. If you understand the living entity, the Supreme Lord, and the material creation, that is the beginning. That is tattva. So if we very carefully study Bhagavad Gita, and especially the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam, we can acquire a scientific understanding of who is Krishna. And when we understand who is Krishna, then we can relate to Krishna. Of course, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has established that relationship based on the chanting of the holy name, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. This is the realization. Of course, that realization, to become complete realization, has to go beyond the mental and the intellectual platform. So I wanted to take a few moments to analyze this danger of the intellectual platform. Revati Raman Prabhu explained in terms of the Avanti Brahman yesterday, the danger of the mind. The mind is so powerful that it is the cause of all the problems. All these other things, the planets and other living entity, they're all there because of our inability to discipline the mind. Their influence is there. But it's ultimately the mind. And of course, above the mind is the intelligence, which, being more subtle, the more subtle something is, the more dangerous it is. Just like as far as the four regulative principles, you know, we can understand if I'm breaking them or not. You know, it's not like, am I smoking a cigarette or not? You know, nobody, you know, we don't wonder that. But when you get to the intellectual platform, am I understanding Krishna through the parampara? No. As Lord Shiva said, that it's interesting how that verse of Lord Shiva came about. When the original Sridhar Swami, the original commentator on the Bhagavatam, so he had a Mayavadi background, and he came to devotional service. But everybody he wrote his commentary, and he was surrounded by Mayavadi. And he even wrote it in a very... I asked Bhanu Swami once, why don't you translate Sridhar Swami's commentary? He said, well, it's so... You know, many devotees may think it's impersonal. It's so... You know, it was designed for the Mayavadis. You know? Just like Shukadeva Goswami, he had to speak so many things because he had such a mixed audience. You know? There were Brahmavadis, there were great devotees, there were, you know, intellectual, all kinds of different. So he had to explain the Bhagavatam in such a scientific way to cover all the points and to make sure that everyone, according to their level of understanding, could make some advancement. So he was trying to explain Krishna, but they couldn't accept his commentary. He said, it's not, you know, we don't accept that. The devotion to Krishna is the understanding. So what did he do? He said, I will prove it to you. So he left his commentary on the altar of Vishwanath, on the altar of Lord Shiva's altar. And the next day, that verse had appeared. You know, that Aham Vedmi, that I may know, Shukadev may know. Otherwise, the verse basically means the speaker may know better or the hearer may know better. No. But the whole understanding is coming through the parampara. No. That's the. So anyway, to really experience the holy name, we have to go beyond the mental and intellectual platform. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada, as it was mentioned yesterday, said, there's no question of the mind. It's not what you do with your mind. It's that your mind comes under the influence of the holy name. And your intellect comes under the influence. So, how can we understand this? Otherwise, devotional service is not a question of intellectual capacity. And, of course, one of the most intellectually capable people of this, of that last century, Einstein, who read Bhagavad Gita regularly, didn't understand it. He understood some philosophical aspects, but he actually said, I cannot accept that God is a person. Why? Because the Holocaust. How could God allow the Holocaust to happen? All these Jewish people being killed mercilessly. How could he allow that? So even though he read it, and he had such a big brain, without the parampara, he could not understand. And of course, there's one interesting verse spoken by the demigods in the fifth canto of the Bhagavatam, where they say, satyam dishyat partitam artito nrinam, that the Lord wants to satisfy everyone's desire. And of course, if we're conditioned, we'll go, I'm all for that. No. But naivartito yat punar artita yataha. But, here's the but. But if he sees that satisfying that desire will cause you to again become entrenched in material understanding, then swayam vittate, Bhagavan anicchatam, then he decides to do something even though the living entity may not desire it. Iccha pidanam parapalavam, that he will put his lotus feet on the head of the devotee, even though the devotee is not asking for that. So he puts his lotus feet on everybody's head in different ways. For the materialist, in the form of material nature, it's actually Krishna's mercy. Material nature is Krishna's mercy, because material nature is showing the living entity this world is dukkalayam ashashvatam, as Krishna mentions. She's showing it clearly. But because everybody has the right, the possibility to fulfill their desires, Krishna doesn't take away their independence. Although Maya gives them a sensation of complete independence when it's actually very little. One time Srila Prabhupada said that Maya has her empowered devotees. Just like Krishna has his empowered devotees, Maya has her empowered devotees, Prabhupada said, the scientists and the philosophers. Of course, not all scientists and not all philosophers, but a good majority. They're empowered by Maya. They have such great intelligence. They can convince people. What to speak of the technological wizardry now that even bewilders devotees, going around all day in social media, instead of, Divya media. We have Divya media here, and we have that also on the electronic platform. But they prefer social media. Of course, social media can be used in Krishna's service. Everything can be used in Krishna's service. The intellect can be used in Krishna's service. As it says in the Bhagavatam, idam hipum sam tapaso shutasya va swistasya suktasya chabudi datayo abhichurtor ta kavido nirupito yaruttama shlokam gunanu vananam, that everything, knowledge, intellect, study of the Vedas, austerities and penances, everything can be used as long as abhichurtor ta, as long as the infallible purpose is yad uttama shloka gunanu varnanam, that the infallible purpose is to glorify the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then the intellect, the mental activity, everything, our possessions, when we know how to use it for the infallible purpose of pleasing Krishna, then it's wonderful. But if we don't know that, then it can be They can devastate us. So Maya has her representatives, but Maya ultimately is trying to teach all of us how to be, that this material world is not worth it. But what happens? Even intelligent people like Einstein think, well, what's wrong with God? You know, if there is a God, what's wrong with him? You know? So the intellect is a very subtle thing, subtle phenomenon, and it has to be dealt with very carefully. And that careful dealing is that it has to be purified by the parampara. That is the way the intellect is subdued, just as Lord Brahma, I just read some verses, the Lord Brahma said, I want to be yatindritaha, I want to be your instrument. And as Krishna pleaded to Arjuna, nimitra matram, just become my instrument. So this is the way that we can dovetail our intellect, dovetail our thoughts, dovetail our actions, to use everything in Krishna's service. I just wanted to conclude by giving some examples of how even the Supreme Personality of Godhead, how he puts his lotus feet on the heads of different personalities and devotees. Krishna, he put his feet physically, of course, they're not physical feet, but externally, on the head of Kaliya. By physical force, he subdued Kaliya's demoniac tendency. And Krishna subdued the brahminical tejas, or the brahminical tendency of the Brahmins, by showing the devotion, the dedication of the Brahmins' wives, the Dvija Patnis. He subdued them. And Krishna subdues the gopis by separation. Otherwise he increases their attachment to him. So Krishna's lotus feet are always, in different ways, are always working upon us, whether we want it or we don't. Of course, we have to want it to some degree, but sometimes we want Krishna, as I heard this from Mahatma Prabhu one time. He said, yes, Krishna, take away all my desires, but not this one, not these three, please. Leave them at least for another, 25 years, something like that. So really, to get Krishna's mercy, it means we have to surrender. Now yesterday, Revati Raman Prabhu spoke the famous verse, Tadvidi Pranipatina Pariprasnena Sevaya. I heard on three occasions in different classes, Srila Prabhupada explained it in a very unique way. He said, first there must be Pratipatina. There must be submission. And then Prabhupada said, then there must be Seva. There must be service. And then prashna. Then you will have relevant questions. If there's no seva, then your questions will be, like universal, encyclopedic, trying to understand things. So the questions should come after the service. Prabhupada said, otherwise you will simply waste the spiritual master's time with useless questions. How many times, those, especially the very senior devotees, and anybody who hears Srila Prabhupada's classes, you'll hear at the end so many times, that is not a good question. Otherwise, the question should be, and why did Prabhupada say that? Because he wanted questions. One time in a class, Srila Prabhupada said, he asked for questions, and nobody asked a question. He said, so, you have not understood? You have not heard? Otherwise, if we're hearing from the spiritual master, there should be some questions. There should be some. You know, that's the whole Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, the Upanishad. It all is questions and answers. In the second chapter of the first canto, that Yat Kritta Krishna Samprashno. Your questions are very good because they pertain to Krishna. So these the questions, not that we all have to ask unlimited questions, but there should be some questions. Of course, sometimes someone may explain something very clearly, but the point is that questions also means that we should be going deeper and deeper. We hear one verse of the Bhagavatam, generally speaking, that was Srila Prabhupada's program, and then your questions are, you know, how do I understand this in terms of devotional service? How do I not just try to understand it intellectually, externally, superficially, but how will I apply? I always recommend to devotees, when you hear the Bhagavatam verse or Bhagavad Gita verse, try to meditate afterwards. How will I apply this to my life? How can I apply this to my daily, today, to my activities? And so this is a process of questioning oneself. Srila Prabhupada said that in the evening, one should question, what did I do for Maya and what did I do for Krishna? Let me do less for Maya and more for Krishna. So the process of questions in the mind or in the life of a serious devotee must go on and on and on. And just to mention very quickly, also Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he subdued the intellect of three great, very great personalities. First of all, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. He was so proud. Gopinathacharya tried to explain to him that he is the Supreme Personality of God. And he explained it so nicely, but, you know, Sarvabhauma, he was... Brahma said, take away pride, because pride is a product of an undisciplined intellect, meaning undisciplined in devotional service. One becomes proud, you know, of one's knowledge, especially if one has a great intellect. The tendency to become proud is very great. So he was very proud. He couldn't accept Gopinathacharya's explanation. Then, because Mahaprabhu tricked him, he said, because Sarvabhauma, when he saw him, you must be what a great personality. He was actually offering more or less to surrender to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, seeing the symptoms of his body and seeing how he became overwhelmed by seeing Lord Jagannath. And Lord Chaitanya said, no, I'm a neophyte. I don't know anything. I want to become your disciple. So he tricked him. Okay, now I want you to teach me. 7 days, Vedanta Sutra. Then, don't you understand anything? Well, yes. I understand Vedanta perfectly, but I don't understand. Your explanation is clouding the whole Vedanta. And then Lord Chaitanya conquered his intellect, converted his intellect. Another, of course, something that happened before that with Lord Chaitanya, with the Keshava Kashmiri. He came very proud, and he recited 100 verses before Lord Chaitanya. And then he was waiting for Lord Chaitanya to, you know, the students, their mouths dropped in awe at that composition. And Lord Chaitanya said, yes, I just... he picked out the middle verse, the middle verse, and he recited it perfectly. Oh, Keshava, how could he do that? But then he was still so proud. He should have surrendered at that point. Still so proud. And then Lord Chaitanya, could you please explain the embellishments? Of course. And also the flaws. No flaws. No. So he explained some embellishments. Now Lord Chaitanya explained, yes, there are some embellishments. There are some flaws. Like saying that, you know, that Sati, that Bhavani has another husband. No, that's a pretty big flaw. and it could probably bring you a lot of problems if you offend Lord Shiva. You know? And then he went, Saraswati, what's happening? And she said, she came to him and said, yes, I gave you the power to defeat anyone, but he is my Lord. I cannot give you that power. So, and then Lord Chaitanya told him, you have such knowledge. Take that knowledge and use it in Krishna's service. You know? And he did. He gave up his elephant, his entourage, and everything. And then the last one, of course, Prakashananda Saraswati and the Mayavadi. And Lord Chaitanya defeated them by his humility. You know? That Murkitume Tomar Nahika Vidantadikar. My spiritual master said, I don't understand. I can't understand Vedanta. Krishna mantra japa sada e mantra sar. Just chant this Krishna mantra. It is the essence of all mantras. Just chant it continuously. And he defeated them. Of course, he defeated them philosophically. So, Lord Chaitanya, Krishna, they have given the basis and the parampara. They take that basis and they subdue our intellect, subdue our mental speculation, subdue our attachment to karmic activities, and bring us to the platform of devotional service. So these are some thoughts. I was thinking of some other things, but time has run out. I've already run over time, but if there's any quick question or comment, yeah. Okay, I saw this hand first over here, if you don't mind. Yes. Well, go ahead and say it.
You explained very beautifully on how the intellect, which is undisciplined, leads to pride, and how Krishna crushes this. I was thinking that another problem with being on the intellectual platform is probably a lot of divide or disagreements and quarrels, because as we see, even among transcendentalists, even among spiritualists, especially Kali's weapon being conflict, so there's a lot of conflict between even different spiritual groups, and even within our own institution, we see there's a lot of divide between leaders, and so we see that this kind of divide is becoming prominent even among spiritual Vaishnava organizations. Is it right that it's because of intellectual platform? Is it true that it's because of intellect being on the intellectual platform that there is so much divide between even among Vaishnavas and other spiritual groups and religions everywhere? And how do we overcome this?
Well, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita gives the opportunity for everyone. It doesn't require intellect to understand Krishna, but it requires intelligence. But what kind of intelligence? I never finished that point, actually. The intelligence, tesham satata yuktanam, to always be joined with Krishna, Bhajatam priti purvakam, how to be enjoined with Krishna, how to be together with Krishna by loving devotional service. So that is the Dhammi Buddhi Yoga. That is the intelligence that Krishna gives us. And what kind of intelligence? That intelligence which allows us to go back home, back to Godhead. So many people may not have great intellectual ability even to understand many aspects of the Bhagavatam. Just like the famous story of the Brahmin who couldn't read the Bhagavad Gita properly. And Lord Chaitanya, when he saw him crying because seeing Krishna being so merciful to Arjuna, being his chariot driver, Lord Chaitanya says, you have understood the Bhagavad Gita perfectly. So the point is that Krishna, it doesn't require intellect, but it requires intelligence. And Krishna gives us that intelligence through his book, through his teachings. And if we don't have so much of an intellectual capability to understand, to grasp things philosophically, then we have the parampara. If someone is not so intellectually capable, please clean the floor. Please do this. Srila Prabhupada said one time, cleaning the floor of the temple is like cleaning the body of the deity. So someone may not be such a big Brahmin or someone who goes on the altar, but if they just wipe the floor, they're doing the same thing. So the point is, it doesn't require intellect, it requires intelligence. And that intelligence comes from the parampara. So actually, I think we'll have to stop here because of the time factor for those of us that have to go to a meeting. So thank you all very much for your kind intelligence. All glory to Srila Prabhupada, Sri Guru, Sri Gauranga, Tai Gaur Premanandi, Ananta Kuti.